Welcome to the Gut Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
It's going to be a great service. Without further ado, please welcome to the stage, Pastor Jeremy Bedell.
Welcome, everybody watching online. Thank you all so much for joining us. It really is an honor to come into your home and wherever you're watching this at. It is a unique time that we are in, that we can't come together corporately, but I'm also thankful that we live in a day and time when we can still connect together as a body of believers. We can still celebrate the good news of Jesus. How many of you guys like some good news tonight? We can celebrate the good news of Jesus, be together, and still connect. And it's cool to be able to live in a day and time when we can do that. And so I'm honored to share the word with you tonight and offer you some encouragement and just be about the great things that God's about. And it's funny because obviously we're in a time when we're facing a lot of opposition. We're in a unique time where there's a lot of questions, a lot of concern. But I'm telling you, that does not change who God is. That does not change the victory that we have and who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. And we're going to celebrate that tonight. And I hope to be encouraging and give you some life and some hope as you sit and listen. I would be remiss not to give a little shout out to my three kids who are watching me on our screen at home, who probably think Dad's famous now. I love you, Stella, Mila, Lincoln, and pay attention, sit up straight and learn something, okay? I do want to acknowledge Pastor Bill and Pastor Sandy, too. I'm so thankful for our senior pastors. I want to give a quick update on Pastor Sandy. Many of you know that she's been in a little bit of a health battle the last few years. You heard the story Sunday. Pastor Bill gave you a story of just the miraculous involvement of God in this process. She recently, I'm going to leave out some of the details and skip to the good stuff. She recently received a liver transplant. It could have been years on the list. She got the call in 3 weeks. It was a successful surgery. She is now officially out of ICU. She is in a recovery room. She's walking the halls today. She is full of excitement and energy and just looking for what she can do again to be part of what God's doing here at this church. And so I'm thankful for what God is doing in Pastor Sandy's life and in Pastor Bill's life. Continue to pray for them, encourage them, and lift them up in your prayers. But God is doing a great work there, and that is so exciting to hear. So we love you, Pastor Sandy, Pastor Bill. We know you're watching where you are tonight, and we're just thankful for what God's doing there, and know that God will continue to see that healing all the way through, and look forward to you getting home and being here with us again. I want to again celebrate the good news of Jesus. I want to highlight a verse that I think is so appropriate for the season that we are in our life. And Pastor Sandy posted it to her social media recently, and it's simply in Psalm 27, verse 13. It simply says this: I would have lost heart if I had not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. Everybody say goodness, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have lost heart. There are two major strategies that the enemy has to rob you of your joy. We had a declaration over this house and over this church from our senior pastor that it was a year of revival, a year of deliverance, a year of abundance. And whatever the circumstances are externally that catch us off guard, whether they're personal, whether they're global, does not change that. It is still a year of revival, still a year of deliverance, still a year of abundance. It is still a year of the goodness of the Lord. And what the devil wants to do is either one, he wants to deceive you out of it and lie to you, or number two, he wants you to lose heart. He wants you to give up. And the Bible says, David said, I would have lost heart. I would have given up. I would have quit. I would have turned my back. It's exhausting hearing all the bad reports. It's exhausting hearing all the what ifs. It's exhausting hearing all the concerns and all the worries and all the anxieties. That stuff will crush us. And it wants to rob us of our confidence. But tonight, I'm here to infuse you with confidence. I'm here to infuse you with life. I'm here to strengthen your heart. Man, we encourage ourselves in the Lord just like David did. He returned from battle, and it was a bad situation. It was a bad situation. You might be facing a bad situation. It may be today. It may be next month. It may have been last month. Either way, we encourage ourselves in the Lord with the good news of who God is. We're not looking to anybody else to bring that life and energy. The Bible says that Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly, and nothing has changed that. And so I'm here to help strengthen your heart tonight. Man, we believe and are confident that God's going to be faithful. God's going to do God. It doesn't matter how big the oppositions we face, whether it's in your home or whether it's in your planet. It doesn't matter, because God is bigger than that, and nothing can touch that and God's promises. It doesn't change the fact. The Bible says whatever will be shaken, whatever can be shaken, will be shaken. Man, there's shifting sands all around us, but the rock of salvation, that's not going anywhere. Man, we are still on a firm foundation. The Bible says that his word will go forth. It cannot return void. It will remain forever. His blessing has been commanded on your life. Nothing's going to touch God's blessing on your life. The Bible says that we're still part of his family. Nobody can take you out of his family or pull you apart from that. You are part of God's family. You're God's son or God's daughter, wherever you're at, and the blessing of God has been commanded on your life. He still holds all power, his character is still intact, and his plan for your life is still in play. God is causing everything to work together for good in your life. This is good news. This is the good news of the gospel. Man, we are gathered together wherever you are. Hopefully hundreds and maybe thousands and thousands of people are watching this, hearing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we celebrate. That's what we focus. That's what prompts us to take action, to come together and meet corporately and worship God because of the good news about Jesus. That's what prompts us to make the changes in our personal lives, to get everything that God has, because it's good news. I want to experience the fullness of his salvation. And while we're in a difficult situation and we start making changes and plans and we adapt and we use wisdom and steward this season of life, it does not change who God is and God's promise for you in your life. And so I want to... I thought about how I could be a best service to you. And of course, I want to keep everything centered around the good news of the gospel, but I also want to give you some coaching points. You know, we have a lot of government officials and leaders giving us coaching points about how to handle stuff. We have a lot of medical leaders in the industry trying to give us, or they're giving us coaching points about how to win this battle. Well, you need spiritual coaching points. And as an assistant coach in this house and in this church, I want to give you some coaching points to walk out and stand in the place of victory that you already have. Man, we are not victims, and we never accept a victim mindset. We never accept a victim mentality. We are victorious people, and we walk in that victory. We walk it out and live it out no matter what's going on around us. And so the first thing I want to tell you, and I simply titled this talk, Commandments for Chaos. Chaos can hit you randomly at any time. It could be on a personal level. It can be on a corporate level. It can be in your career. It can be on the globe. It doesn't matter. But a lot of times, bad news can come in and out of nowhere, you're having a normal day, and then bam, you get bad news, and it feels chaos. It feels like, whoa, wait, what's real? What can I hold on to? And so I want to give you some spiritual coaching points for how to continue to win in the middle of chaos. Commandments for chaos. When chaos hits you, whether it's the chaos you may find yourself in tonight or maybe chaos that catches you off guard somewhere down the road, these are going to help you stay in your position of victory, keep your mindset strong, keep your heart strong, and keep walking out the great things that God has for you, displaying his glory to everyone all over the world. Number one, hold your position. Hold your position. We have a firm foundation. The Bible says, it tells the story of two men who were building their house, One would build his house on the sand. One would build his house on the rock. And the Bible says he dug deep to lay that foundation. And the man who built his house on the rock was likened to a man who hears the instructions of the word, of God, the instructions of Jesus' teachings, and builds his life on those things. It's like a man who digs deep. And there's a process to digging deep, right? There's a process to putting effort into it, to getting to church, to learning the word, to getting the word in you, so that when the storm hits, which it hit both men, I'm still standing. I'm still right here, and my position doesn't change. Man, we take a position and we take a stance that I'm going to be everything God's called me to be. I'm going to run the race. I'm going to honor God with my whole life. I give him everything I have, and when the wind starts blowing and the rain's in my face, I'm not coming off this position. I'm not changing. I'm not going to curl up. I'm not going to turn and change my position. My position is set. My feet are on a firm foundation, a solid rock, and I'm not going anywhere. I don't waver or come off of God's word. I don't come off of the truth of who God says I am and God's plan for my life. And that's what we got to do, is we got to stand and know who I am in Christ and know what God's plans and God's word is for me in my life, because God's promised it and that's where my heart is. This is what infuses you and strengthens your heart in the same process. We know that it's an anchor to my soul. I'm anchored down. Right? My soul is my mind, my will, my emotions. In a time like this, when there's chaos, well, my thoughts can go crazy. My emotions can go crazy. We start making decisions. We got decisions to make fast. We got decisions we have a little time to think about, but we got to make decisions. Well, listen, that's my soul. I need my soul anchored down. My soul is anchored down to the promise of God in my life because the promise of God has not been shaken. It's not moving. That's what I'm anchored to. And you may be watching this somewhere right now and you just go, man, I'm not anchored down that well. I don't know. Let me help you. You pull your boat up to this boat right here and we're going to hold on to you, okay? You can get a hold of that anchor tonight, even at the end of service. Just by putting Jesus as the Lord of your life, you receive the promise and the covering and the protection of God over your life that comes through Jesus. That's what Jesus did. Jesus made a way for us to be reconciled back to God so that we could have this benefit, have this blessing, have a sense of understanding, a sense of purpose, and not be worried about it. Man, Paul wrote this. He said, I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. The blessing of God has been commanded on your life. These are things that are absolute. And we've got to have that same level of persuasion. It's like, look, I'm not going anywhere. I have this stance. I'm holding this position. I'm anchored down. Yes, the wind's blowing. Yes, the rain's in my face. Yes, I can't see as well right now, but this storm's going to pass. And if you heard the message Pastor Bill preached a few weeks ago, we talk about storms. Storms elevate. We elevate. And that's what we're doing right now as the church. If you're watching this, man, this is a time and a season when there's a storm. It's blowing hard, blowing fast. We elevate. We rise above. We're not going to get taken down by a storm or get lost. I am anchored down, I'm positioned, and if anything, I'm elevating up over the storm in my life. Number two is to guard your heart. Guard your heart. You know, we take all these precautions in a season like this, and we're being instructed to take a lot of precautions, everything we can do to protect ourselves and to guard ourselves. And yet, the Bible says, above all else, to guard your heart. I heard a story one time of a celebrity musician who paid hundreds of thousands of dollars, right, he had personal bodyguard security, he had security around his home, he had a big wall fence around his house. Everywhere he went, he had security. He paid great, large amounts of money on an annual basis for securing his life, but he was in his own kitchen looking at a computer and read a thread and read a comment of a fan or somebody that was making fun of something he did or how he sang or whatever it was, and it pierced his heart. So here he is paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for all the security around him, but he let one little thought get into his heart and it wrecked him. It set him sideways. It kept him out of entertainment. It kept him out for a long time because it took him a long time to rebound from that because he did all this job protecting everything else and forgot to protect his heart. And so that's a vital thing. The Bible says above all else, we've got to protect our heart. There's two scriptures I want to reference, and I want to give you a point that's going to help you with where you're at tonight. And it's simply this. The Bible says in Romans 5:5 that we have a hope in him that does not disappoint. He is going to be faithful. He is going to remain strong, and my hope is in him. Even when I don't understand everything, even when things are the way they are, man, my hope is in him, and he's not going to change. But the Bible says in Proverbs that that hope deferred makes the heart sick. Oh, man, so what if I've got to not just guard my heart, but how do I guard my heart? Heart is to guard my hope. And we're in a time when it's like it's easy to want to put our hope in a leader, to put our hope in a person, to put our hope in our job, to put our hope in something. And when that thing lets us down, it can make us heart sick. My hope is anchored in God. My hope is anchored in him and in his promise. And I have to guard my hope. It's real easy to put my hope in. I mean, listen, do you want to put your hope in somebody else that they're making sure they're washing their hands? Are you going to put your hope in some report or something else? No, absolutely not. I'm putting my hope in who God is. And I keep my hope there and I guard my hope because my hope in him will never disappoint. And so we want to guard our heart and guard our hope. Number three is we want to declare it. We got to declare it. Here we are. We've got our position. I'm guarding my heart. And then we proclaim and declare the great things of God. And so Paul wrote it like this when he was talking about Abraham. He said, we serve a God who calls those things that are not, as though they are. Now, we don't mean to do this, but we unintentionally, subconsciously kind of read that and process it as that our faith is calling things that are as though they're not. And that's not what that's saying. The facts are the facts. The facts can be what they are all around us, but as Pastor Bill's taught us, the facts are subject to change. The truth never changes. And so, yes, these are the facts, but I'm calling those things that are not as though they are. I'm not denying what is. I'm not denying the facts. I'm not denying the hardship. I'm not denying what is. I'm not saying that I'm not calling those things that are as though they're not. I'm calling those things that are not as though they are. And those are the words that are coming out of our mouth. Those are what we're proclaiming. That is what our expectation is. And so we continue to speak God's word and continue to win. I'm attaching some confession sheets for you as tools to help you just grow for yourself. This season we're in is going to pass, but these tools will get inside of you and renew your mind so that you can prove and experience God's good, perfect, and pleasing will. And so there's a confession sheet on health and God's promise to heal. There's a confession sheet on your finances, and there's a confession sheet for you in regard to relationships and how we can live. And so those are going to be available for you. Get a hold of them and begin to just confess them. You know, a lot of times people say, well, I don't know what to read. I don't know what to quote or what to say. Man, we get this word, this confession sheet, and you just print that thing off and you just read it every morning. Would be a valuable thing for you. But that's how we begin to declare God's promises over our life. Number four, carpe diem, seize the day. You know, it's a weird day that we live in, but today is still the day that God has made. He still made this day, and I choose to rejoice. I choose to be glad. I choose to seize the opportunity, to seize the moment. I choose to recognize that God is good right now. You know, it's funny because we know that God is good, and if you've been in church very long, we say God's going to cause everything to work together for good, which is absolutely true, but God is good today. And it's so simple for us to be worried about tomorrow, to be anxious about tomorrow. The Bible says don't worry about tomorrow, saying, don't think and be anxious about tomorrow. Man, let's focus on today's the day the Lord has made. Let's seize the opportunities. Let's seize what's in front of us. Let's grab a hold of it because God is good right now. And God might be setting you up for ministry right now. God might be teeing up a relationship for you or teeing up a situation for you to give hope to somebody who you've been praying for a long time. Or maybe you're sitting here watching this and it's all relatively new to you and you're looking for hope. I'm just telling you that now is the day of salvation and today is the day that God has made and he is mindful of you. He's watching you. He's aware of you and he is present. And so what are the good things that God's wanting to do in your life today? I live in the world, but I'm not of this world. And so God is wanting to do something great in me and through me today. And so while there might be bad news or hardship or all the gloom and doom that could be around you, man, we are not going to receive fear. We're not going to receive doubt. We're not going to receive worry. And we are going to look for the great things that God is doing right now. Number five is to follow the leader. Follow the leader. And the reason I said it like that is because there is a spirit that is leading you, all right? And so I learned a very important lesson several years ago. I guess it'd be about 8 or 10 years ago, the difference between fear and wisdom. And the Bible says that in 1 Timothy, that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. But then in Ephesians 1, it talks about the spirit of wisdom, spirit of wisdom and revelation. We see the spirit of wisdom referred to in Joshua, referred to with Abraham. And so God is wisdom. Wisdom was with him in the beginning when he created the heavens and the earth. And so feelings come and go. That's why we don't trust feelings. We don't make decisions based off feelings. But a spirit is what leads us. And so if we receive a spirit of fear, which is not what God gave us, it wants to lead you one direction. But when we receive the Spirit of God and get quiet and get past my feelings and say, God, where are you here? Where are you in this moment? And I have the spirit of wisdom and stewardship, then I'm going to go the direction that the spirit of wisdom leads me. And I'd say I learned an important lesson. I'll make this story kind of quick, but I was several years ago, I guess Stella was a little baby, so it had to be about 8 years ago, 7, 8 years ago. Some guys were getting together to play basketball, and I remember thinking, man, I want to go play. I was fit at the time. I'm still carrying a little holiday weight right now for 2020. We will talk about that later. But at the time, I was super fit, and I thought, man, I want to go play. I want to run around. I want to get some exercise. But I was training for something that I wanted to compete in. And I remember thinking, man, I probably shouldn't go because if I got injured, it would mess up this goal that I have. And then I immediately thought, no, that's fear. I'm a faith guy. And so I thought, no, I'm going to stiff arm that. And then I went to get some shoes, but I didn't have good basketball shoes. I had these little bitty shoes. And I thought, man, that's not smart because, you know, you could turn an ankle. And I thought, no, that's fear. I'm a faith guy. And so I just kind of kept, and then I got to the gym to play ball. And it was a court where you can play 4-on-4 here at the church. And there were 9 guys. I was number 9. And I thought, hey, that's not going to keep me from playing tonight. I'm here. I'm not fear. I'm not taking that as any kind of sign. This is faith. I'm going to play. And so I got in to finally play, started winning, got to like the third game, almost rolled my ankle. And I was like, man, I should get off here. I've gotten to play three games. That's enough. And I thought, no, that's just fear. I'm a faith guy. And so I kept running, kept playing, played five games, and then went and sat down, took my shoes off. And I promise you that I remember thinking, thank you, God, that you graced me to get to play basketball tonight. It's what I wanted to do, and you protected me. You kept me. Thank you for the opportunity to play ball. And then the guy said, can you run one more? And I was like, yeah. So I put my shoes back on, went back out, and the second point, turned my ankle, tore ligaments, had to have surgery in my ankle. Now, I tell you that to fast forward to the other part of the story. I'm sitting on my couch. I got my foot propped up, elevated, and I ended up having to have two surgeries on my ankle. And I got this sharp pain in my calf. And I thought, man, what is that? That hurts. And I promise you that within 1 minute, fear just came over me like you wouldn't believe. It just consumed me. And I thought, uh-oh, that could be like a blood clot. What if the blood clot breaks and it goes right to my heart? What if I die from an ankle injury? If I die, I got a little baby. What will Nina do? Will she move back to Texas? Is she going to remarry? Is she going to raise my kids to know who I am? I mean, in 60 seconds, I had my wife remarried and wondering if she's going to talk to my children about me. And so what I've learned in retrospect is A, fear is irrational. It is emotional. It is chaotic. It is crazy. It's ridiculous. Right? And it wants to make us make dumb decisions and take us down an emotional journey that we don't, that's not God's promise. But wisdom was consistent, it's calm, it's patient, and it was just the same message, the same message. And God in his grace and kindness protected me in that moment, but I learned a valuable lesson thinking that's the difference. And so when we have a spirit of wisdom, it's going to be patient. It's going to be consistently with the same message. It's going to sound like God's word. It's going to be calm, and you're going to walk out the simple obedience and the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. Don't go for the irrational, emotional, crazy behavior because it'll have you way, way off track. All right? Number six, simply practice what matters most. You know, we're in a position where things are forced upon us. When things are forcing us to a different position, a different place, it's forcing us into a place it forces us to appreciate certain things. It forces us to value certain things. It forces change in behaviors. It forces us to turn to God. Receive that and just begin to get reps. Begin to practice the things that you've wanted to. Some of you have been praying for opportunities, right, to spend more time with your kids, or praying for opportunities to whatever it is, to write what God's put in your heart and start writing a book. Praying for opportunities to do things. Man, seize that moment, right? Capitalize on it and just begin practicing getting reps. And I highlighted the word practice because I said, going to the gym, and I always use this example, is that when we go to the gym, we like to do deadlifts and where I work out. And so doing deadlifts is not a fun thing. And going to the gym is not always a fun thing, right? And lifting heavy weights. But you're getting reps. You're getting reps. You're getting reps. You're practicing. You're practicing this movement. You're practicing the technique. You're practicing your form. You're practicing doing it right. You're challenging yourself with heavy weight, even when it's uncomfortable. And what happens is, somewhere down the road, you get a call from your buddy, or you get a call from somebody in need, and they say, hey, man, can you come over and help me pick up my couch and help me move my couch? Yes, I can. I know how to pick stuff up. I've been getting reps in the gym, and now I can use these reps to offer service and value and show love to somebody down the road. And so here's this opportunity in front of us where it's like, man, let's get reps. Let's get reps in our patience while we're trying to wait this thing out. Let's get reps in our trust of God. Let's get reps in getting in God's word on a regular basis and getting those confessions on the inside of us. Let's get reps of speaking God's word. Let's get reps of connecting with people and reaching out and looking for opportunities, because all it's doing is creating muscle memory and a pattern in your life that's only setting you up for more victories down the road. So embrace the moment. Number seven is we want to be the church. You know, it's interesting because we're not able to gather in one place corporately, but you are the church. When we come together, there's a cool blessing on us corporately when we get together and worship, but you're the church and you're what God's ordained. And be the church for the people around you. Be the one who brings the hope. Bring the one who brings life and peace and joy and an encouraging word, that whatever people come here for, you have it on the inside of you, and we can be that for other people. You know, it's a great time to strengthen relationships with people in the church. It's a great time to strengthen friendships by reaching out and showing and caring and being all of those things for people. Number eight, we want to focus outward. It's so easy for us to take a selfish mentality and start going, how this affects me and what this means for me and all of this. Let's stay consistently focused outward. Let's be about the people around us and continue to be part of what God's doing. You know, something very cool, obviously, we're still having church tonight. We're just doing it in a unique way. Friday, we're still giving out groceries. I want to invite you that if you're comfortable with it, you're at peace with it, we're going to have Friday groceries. We're not going to be gathering corporately and collectively, but we are going to have people be able to drive up and we can and give them groceries one at a time in a safe manner that honors the authority and the direction of our local officials. But we're still going to be meeting needs for people. And so if you can help with that, that's a great opportunity to continue to serve. I encourage you to continue to tithe, continue to give. We can't afford not to tithe. We want to be about the great things that God's doing. And you say, well, what does that matter? Why are you talking about that? Because number one, there's all this concern about finances and financial stress. Listen, we are not subject. We are affected by the world economy, but we're part of the kingdom's economy. And we tithe and bring it first, number one, because it's obedience to God. Number two is because it's a position of my heart to say, God, I trust you. You're my provision. You're the one that meets my needs. You're the one that can accelerate my finances, even when everything else could be going down the other way. And number three is it continues to meet needs of feeding people, and it continues to help facilitate opportunities like this for ministry. So continue to have an outward focus. Continue to think about the things and the difference that you can make all around you. Number nine, live free. Don't judge people. Don't judge people when you're in the middle of a chaotic situation. Don't look for all the judgments of people's decisions. Something that really set me free was when I realized one day I'm not responsible for that decision that that person made. I'm not responsible for that. And so it set me free, because when we're judging other folks, whether it's on a large scale of people making big decisions, or maybe it's something really right in your world where you have an opinion about whether somebody should go or not go or stay or not stay, man, let's not judge them. Let's not have an opinion about it. Let's just be free, encourage them to do the right thing, and pray for leaders and pray for where we're going from there. But I'm telling you, that's how you live free and not pick up judgment. If we're passing judgment on everybody else and their decisions, it heaps judgment back on us, and we start living in a cycle of judgment in our own life, and it can compress us and hold us down. Number 10 is I want you to stay in front. Pastor Bill said a couple of weeks ago, he was talking to somebody up here at the altar call, and he said, man, you probably got a past, don't you? And he said, your sin has already been dealt with. Well, I'm just telling you that your sickness, your financial stress, your sin, it's already been dealt with. If you don't get anything else I'm saying tonight, get what I'm saying right now. It's already been dealt with. Jesus already took it on the cross. And so the fear that tries to grab us, man, I'm not receiving that fear, because my salvation, my health, my finances, my peace, it's already been paid for. It's already been dealt with. This virus, it's already been dealt with. Economy stress, it's already been dealt with. God, I'm part of the kingdom, and so I'm out in front because I'm a kingdom kid. I'm part of God's family, and so I'm not going to be worried about that. It's already been dealt with. You know, when those people lowered the man through the roof to Jesus, they lowered that guy through the roof, and Jesus said, he said, your sins are forgiven, and they were offended, right? And he said, what's easier for me to say? Your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk, pick up your mat. And so they go one and the same. So if your sins have already been dealt with, then your health has already been dealt with. Your financial concerns have already been dealt with, so you can be at peace tonight. Number 11, be still and keep moving. This is kind of a twofer. Number one, be still. Just get quiet each moment and realize and know that God is present. God is present in your situation. And I remember the fact that in the Old Testament, they would carry a staff, like Moses carried a staff. And on that staff, he would make marks on that staff of every time God had done something. And so when they were believing God for things, they would look back and see all the marks on that staff and remember God's faithfulness, remember God's power. And so there's a moment where you just get still in a chaotic situation and go, I'm going to get still in my heart, and I just know that God is in control. I'm confident. I take a moment to remember God's faithfulness. And then I also want to encourage you to keep moving, right? We don't sit back and just wait for this to end. We're not binge watching Netflix for the next week or whatever. No way. We are going to take advantage to grow and keep pursuing the great things that God's doing in our life. The goals, the dreams that he's put in our heart, we might refine our strategies, but I keep pressing forward and seize the moments in front of me. The last thing I want to tell you is to pray. Just pray. And so that sounds so obvious, right? It sounds so cliche to pray, but I want to encourage you with how we pray. A few weeks ago, Pastor Chino preached a message simply called Constantly. And he preached from the book of Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul said, I pray for you constantly. And when he preached this message, it just resonated with my heart because several months ago, God dropped in my heart how, you know, we're told to pray for our leaders, pray for our pastors, pray for our mayor and our governor and our president, and pray for all the officials in life, pray for everybody that leads in our life. But what's funny is what I was checked on is we typically want to pray our agenda for them. And that's not what Paul was praying for these people. And that's not what Pastor Chad was reminding us of how to pray for people. I want to encourage you to pray for the leadership, pray for your families. And here's what Ephesians chapter 1, 15 through 23. You can read it for yourself. But the three things that I took away from that message that we pray for people. We pray for spiritual wisdom and insight. And we pray the knowledge of God come alive in people's hearts. Another thing Pastor Bill said that just completely affected me and how I do ministry and how I think is that it's not my job to fix people. It's not your job to fix people. People have to be healed. And so when we're praying for people, we're praying that the spiritual wisdom and insight and the knowledge of God would come personal for them and come alive in their heart. We pray for the light and understanding. We pray for a confident hope and a full assurance of who God is. And we pray the incredible greatness of God's power that can only be seen through what Jesus does in our life. That's what we want. We want people's eyes to be opened. We want people to know God. And I just want to encourage you to pray for that. Because when you're praying for your leaders and when you're praying for your pastors and you're praying for people in your life, man, listen, if the lights come on in their heart, if they have spiritual wisdom and spiritual insight and understanding, they have a confident hope and a full assurance, they're going to make great decisions that will benefit you. They're going to make good decisions because they're hearing from God. And that's what we want. You know, a prayer for myself a lot lately and maybe in a easier context or tone is, God, help me see what I can't see. Help me know what I don't know. God, this is a situation I've never been in before. God, help me to know what I don't know and how I can help. I thank you, God, that I'm a vessel of your love that brings healing to people all around me. I'm telling you, church, we have the victory. We are positioned and standing strong in victory. We have the word of God that's a sure word of God. It is not going to move. It is not going to change. And so all of these little commandments, all these little coaching points, man, they're based on the fact that God is going to prevail, that we are going to win. We win every day, and we win no matter what the scoreboard looks like. We win no matter if the other team scores a touchdown. We win no matter what happens. We're getting the ball back, and we're going to go move the chains. We're going to go score a touchdown. We're going to go on the offense, even when it feels like I'm on my heels. I'm playing defense. Man, I'm grabbing that ball, and let's go on offense. Let's stand our position. Let's guard our heart. Let's declare the truth of God's promises. Let's go win and make a difference all around us because of what Jesus has already done, because of the love of God. It is not waver. It does not change. And I'm persuaded. Are you persuaded tonight that God loves you, that nothing can separate you from God's love? Because it's a true statement. If you're watching this tonight, again, I want to thank you for doing that. I want to pray for you, but I also want to give you an opportunity to make Jesus Lord of your life. You could feel like, listen, Pastor Jeremy, I'm not anchored down to anything. I don't feel anchored, you know? I don't know where it's going. I don't know where my life's going. I'm concerned about my elderly family members. I'm concerned about my community. I'm concerned about the world. I'm concerned. Well, let me tell you something. You can be anchored in peace. You can be anchored in joy. You can be anchored in hope. That's what God has for you. And so if you're watching tonight and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, will you do that tonight? Again, today is the day of salvation. We're not worried about what happened yesterday. We're not worried about what could happen tomorrow. Today's the day of salvation. God wants to come right into your situation, right into your room, right into your heart, and just change everything. He wants to come into your boat and simply throw that anchor out so that you're anchored down. That's who God is. And so if you're watching, I just want you to simply pray this prayer. Just say, God, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe, God, that you raised him to new life. And I choose today to make Jesus the Lord of my life. God, come into my heart, come into my life, fill me with your hope, fill me with your joy, fill me with your peace. And God, I thank you that tonight I'm part of your family, that tonight I'm anchored to you, that tonight you have just made me a winner because of what Jesus did. Thank you, God, for new beginnings, new opportunities, and the hope of the great things that you have for me in the future. God, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for this night. God, we thank you for the victory that we have in you. And Father, we choose right now to put all of our trust in you. We don't look to the left. We don't look to the right. We're not worried about the situations around us. God, we simply put our eyes on you. We fix our eyes on you. And we set our mind on things that are above. God, we declare tonight that we trust you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. We trust you and we will love you accordingly also. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.